out of glasses, please, Dad. I know some of you thought I was joking when I said we're going to be talking about discouraged tonight, but actually that's what we're going to talk about. So the enemy wants to discourage us. He wants to frustrate us. But we don't have to stay there. That's what the world chooses. That's not what we choose. We choose to walk in the Spirit and to be obedient to Him. So recently we talked about doubt and fear and how they can impact our lives, our decisions. And also we talked about the Word of God and what it has to say about that. I'll keep talking, we'll keep moving. Alright? So now I think we should follow up with a look at discouragement. So going through a time of discouragement is not something that we need to be ashamed of. If we will even take a look at some of the heroes of the Bible who went through being discouraged. So let's look at the word discouraged. And it comes from the root word courage. Okay? So dis means the opposite of, and you put that with courage and you get the opposite of courage. So discourage comes from the French word discourager, which means to take away courage or to take away enthusiasm. And the enemy wants to do all he can to take away our courage or our enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. So discourage means to demoralize, means to despair, it means despondency, it means disheartenment, dismay. And then I save this one for last because I think it especially applies to Christians. It means dispiritedness, losing our spirit. And that's what Satan wants to do. He doesn't want us to have you walking in the power and the might of the Holy Spirit. So he wants to dispirit us. Can you all hear me okay in here? Okay. So now if you have the Spirit of God in you, who would want to discourage you? It's Satan. And he wants to use discouragement to lead you to failure and to keep you from being all that you can be in Christ. And we've all had discouraging times, moments, frustrating things that have happened. God, on the other hand, according to 2 Corinthians 1:3, is the God of all comfort, meaning encouragement. Excuse me while I'm working around the technicians and everything else. And if I fall down, it's because I'm tripping on one of the wires back here. Anyway, we might as well entertain you while we're talking, right? God, on the other hand, according to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, is the God of all comfort, meaning encouragement. When he's talking about comfort, he's talking about encouragement. God has encouraged his people many times. I'll give you a few examples. I'll try not to rattle them too fast. One is Psalm 27, verse 14. Another place you can check at your own leisure is Psalm 31. 245. Also 2 Chronicles 32 verse 7 and Deuteronomy 331:6. So you can take a look through some of these. I think I put my numbers backwards on Deuteronomy, but anyway, it's that kind of a night. When Joshua replaced Moses as the leader of the Israelites, some of God's first words to Joshua were, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." That's Joshua 1, verse 9. So, Joshua was considered a mighty man of God. And he needed to be encouraged by the Lord. So what are some reasons that lead us to being discouraged? We could go with a real long list, but I'll just go with a brief one. One of them is fatigue. one stop to think about it, but fatigue can be one thing that affects us. When we get wore out, when we're physically tired, it puts us in a place where we can be easily discouraged. Because you're tired, you start to let your guard down in so many different ways, and you don't even realize that you've done it. We need to face ourselves, and we need to try to get rested and restored whenever we can. Even Jesus went to a place where he can find peace and rest at different times. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, you see the people getting fatigued when they're restoring the walls in Jerusalem. When they get about halfway through rebuilding the walls, they become really tired. And they begin to think that they've taken on too much. How many times have we done that? When we started out with good intentions, we believe we're here in the Lord, we get partway through the battle, and then we start to get weary. We get tired. We begin to wonder if we really hear the Lord wanting us to do all of that. And we can get a little discouraged there. Then fear starts to set in. By Nehemiah 4, verse 11, they're now emotionally worked up and fearful. Because they got tired and the guard was down, now their emotions went to work. When their emotions got to work, you ever see people when they start to disagree with one another, and they just get to where their emotions start to get worked up, and then the next thing you know, people get fearful, and things just start to go in a direction they don't need to go. In Nehemiah verse 4, verse 12, by that time you feel like failure. Perhaps you have naysayers around you, people saying, you missed it, that's not the way we should go. Where you think about the times in the past when things just didn't work out well for you. And so you begin to feel like that failure. This just isn't going to work. Why do I even start to do this? 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9 says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And, you know, there are different times in our lives when we probably felt most of those emotions, if you want to be honest. It can get very discouraging when we're dealing with the issues of life. It's in these dark times that we need to remind ourselves of what the Lord has done in the past. And that's really nice when some people are really good about keeping like a little diary or keeping track of what the Lord's done. I like to recommend people to do it, but then I don't do it myself. But I tell you, when you're going through those times and you feel like God's not hearing me, the truth of the matter is, if you stop and think about it, how many times has God already done something for you? And the same God that did those other things is the same God that's going to see you put through what you're going through now. It's just that those things are past and you know the end of the story. Here you're in the middle of the battle. And you don't see that yet. Look at how discouraged Jonah was in Jonah 4, verse 3. He got to the point where he said, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, take my life from me. Jonah was getting suicidal. And I have dealt with people when I've counseled that they just get into such despair and so discouraged. And it seems like even people they thought they were friends with, they have words where there's misunderstandings that take place. I've seen people actually get to a point to where they want to take their own life. That's not God. That's Satan. God wants you to have life and have it more abundantly, not take it from you. That's straight from the pit. Excuse me. John 14, verse 1 says, to not let your heart be troubled. And sometimes, because we're human, we can get a distorted, we can get immature, or even a self-centered nature. And the next thing you know, we fall into the pity trap. You start with, there I go again. Or there we are with the friends. There's somebody I thought I was getting along great with. And we fall into that trap. That's the enemy whispering in your ear. Instead of walking through it and Satan doesn't want us to do that. He wants to pit one against another, whether it's something important or something bad. When this happens, we need to repent and we need to confess our wrongs. That's what repentance is all about. God knows we're going to have those moments. Some people more than others, but every single one of us, if you really want to be honest, we have those moments. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. That's why we all need Jesus. 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. So no matter where we mess up, whether it's something big or something small, God's willing to cleanse us from that. We don't have to walk around with our chin on our chest, being discouraged. Because Satan knows when he's got you discouraged, your head's down like this. It's not up there looking at him. So get your eyes off the Lord. Like we just sang a few minutes ago. Turn your eyes onto Jesus. Are we turning our eyes onto Jesus when we're thinking negative thoughts and we're in despair and we've got our head on our chest? No. We're thinking, why did this have to happen? Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He didn't say you had to do all that. He said he would do it. But we have to be in a right relationship with him in order for him to do that. If we're withholding our hand from him, how's he going to lift us up? We have a part to play in that. Disappointment at times can be a traumatic experience. And Satan loves to take advantage of those times to attack you. It can give you a distorted viewpoint. And sometimes because of our emotions, or because of things that we've done, or said, or whatever, our viewpoint gets distorted. We're not seeing clearly. Because we're allowing these other things to cloud the issue. God wants us to take that veil away. He wants us to see clearly. He wants us to see Him in it. And we can't do that if we stay stuck in the mud. God wants to lift us up. There are times when we may not even understand what is going on. I thought I did everything right. I don't even know where it went wrong. What happened? Went out and I was witnessing and everything went wrong. And it was somebody we were talking. I don't even know how things got turned the way they did. It went from this friendly conversation between friends to where now there's a misunderstanding. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Satan wants to trip us up and he will find every little way that he can. He can do it the big way, he'll do it the big way. I know he tried to keep this message we didn't have tonight, because earlier today we had the system working fine. We came in here, and I won't say who was messing with the buttons, but all of a sudden things weren't working. And I'm joking about who was messing with the buttons, really, because it just went belly up. It honestly just went belly up. It wasn't an individual. Satan doesn't want us to be aware that we don't have to walk in this journey. Satan doesn't want us to realize we need to get our chin off our chest and look up. Because God's there, and He wants to help us out through all this stuff. And He doesn't want us, you know, when you start looking down and you're not thinking clearly, did you ever see somebody where they're almost like walking in a fog? And the next thing you know, you'll see somebody maybe bump into a wall or they bump into somebody else. That's what we kind of do spiritually as well. And Satan knows that. We don't have to accept that. We have victory in Christ. We need to walk in the victory in Christ, and we need to stay focused on where we're trying to get to. Not get distracted over here or distracted over there by the wiles of the enemy. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." Beale used to like to sing about the long and winding road. I've been on the long and winding road. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to walk up straight on the path that the Lord has for me. Satan loves to have us winding this way and that way. I keep repeating myself. We have victory in Jesus. You know, we talked about doubts last week. We talked, Pastor Chip has talked about fears. This discouragement, all these things fit together. They're tools of the enemy. But we have the Word of God. And His promises are yes and amen. And He's been around a long time. And you can't find one time where He made a mistake or lied. He's been true to His Word. How many of us can say that? We haven't been around here as long as He has. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. You ever see videos of, like in Africa or someplace, where the herd seems to all be fine, and then all of a sudden you see them getting stirred up, and you see them moving a little this way, and moving a little that way, and pretty soon one gets separated? Well, guess what? That's what Satan's trying to do to us. He wants to get us to start moving in a different direction than the path we're supposed to be on. He wants us to get divided and separated. And he wants to catch you alone. He wants you to where you're feeling all alone, because that's when the lions are kept. Well, I will remind you, Satan was already defeated. Do you know which one the roaring lion is in the pride? The roaring lion in the pride is the oldest one. And his teeth aren't working so good anymore. But he can give a heck of a roar. And he goes up and he scares you, making his noise. But he can't really do a lot about it. And it's the young lions that are waiting hidden in the grass that will jump out and get you once the roaring lion gets you distracted. And that's what Satan is. He's like a roaring lion. He's trying to get you distracted so his minions can get you. And so your eyes are no longer on the Lord. You don't have to do that. We have a shepherd that will take care of those lions. Strong people in the Lord have become discouraged. I've already mentioned a couple. How about Moses? In Numbers 11, verse 15, he cries out, "If this is how you are going to deal with me, kill me, I pray, and let me not see my wretchedness." There's another one who's ready to have suicide. Noah, Moses, we talked about. What the heck? And these are the people that we look to as the mighty men of God. Well, these are the mighty men of God, and we're looking up to them. What makes you think we won't have moments like that if they did? And how about Elijah? There's a guy, I mean, you know, he got to lead him in the church. Go to heaven. But in 1 Kings 19, he goes from defeating all of Baal's prophets to running scared and hiding under a juniper tree from a woman. And he prayed to God that he might die. After defeating all the prophets of Baal and seeing God at work. You know, that happens less sometimes. We get all excited because we see God do something really great. And we think we're really on track. And then something, it might even be a little thing, trips us up. And even though just a little while ago we were bragging about what God did, and it's amazing how he intervened for us, now we're walking in fear. Or we're questioning. It's the same thing. We can all have those wonderful moments and yet still have discouraging times. It's called light. But let those moments just be moments. Don't set up housekeeping there. Elijah was human, and he had emotions just like we have. Great testimony, wonderful things. But there were a few things that happened in his life that I'm sure he didn't want to brag about. Sometimes in those moments, it's hard to remember Romans 8:28. It's a popular verse. For we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. For those who are called according to his purpose. But how many of you remember that when you just had a fight with a close friend? Or the doctor just gave you a conversation that you didn't want to hear? Or you just let them run down the score to do something simple. And you just wrecked into somebody because you stood on the ice. Because you're the one hitting from behind, you're the one that's at fault. How do we remember that? You don't. Because our emotions get in the way. But just because our emotions temporarily get in the way, like I said, don't let them set up costume. Go back to the Word of the Lord. It's hard to be grateful in every situation, and I know that. I've been in some situations that was very hard to be grateful in. Sometimes our situation can seem to be too much for us. We just don't know how we're going to get past it. Somebody that you love just got murdered. Somebody went in for a simple operation and they didn't come out. Different things that happen in our life. If we're honest, we can sound super religious when we're sitting in a meeting, but if we're honest, we all have those tender moments. Isaiah 54, verse 17, reminds us that even in our worst situations, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall confuse every tongue that rises against you in judgment. Let me read that again. This is Isaiah 54, 17. Even in our worst situations, no weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed, and you shall confuse every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. He's got your back. When you're feeling kind of alone, I've been there. For a while, it seems like everybody's on your side, and then something happens, and then all of a sudden, it's like everybody disappears, and you wonder, what did I do? God's got your back. But in those traumatic times, especially if we're weary, or it seems like an impossible situation, the truth is we're all human. It can get tough. And 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says that we are to be casting all of our anxieties upon him because he cares for you. It didn't say some. It didn't say only the big ones. It says all of your anxieties. We can give them the Lord. Not always easy to do, but it's what we're called to do. Sometimes it helps to take our focus off our own situation long enough to encourage others. It can often help you to be less discouraged as you're seeing how God is using you in the midst of your own problems to help somebody else. You feel like the roof's falling in, there's nobody there to help you fix it. But then you go over and help somebody else that needs bailed out. God will bless you in those situations. Sometimes you wonder how that's going to happen. But God's the God of the impossible. At least that's the one I worship. In the J.B. Phillips translation of the Bible, he puts Romans 12:2 this way. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. I thought that was an interesting way to say that. Because when you watch TV shows, movies, commercials, different organizations that are in the world, they all want to mold you into their way of thinking. Trust me, you can do this. It's a part of this. This is the way of God. That's no different than the dirty old man that goes up to the van and opens the door and says to a kid, hey, you want some candy? Come on in and trust me. Because that's what Satan's doing when he does that kind of stuff. Fanny Crosby, in one of her hymns, reminds us that we don't need to feel cast down. And we were made for the moment, but don't stay there. All the way the Savior leads me, what am I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know, whatever befall me, Jesus doth all things well. That's one of Fanny Crosby's songs. A positive way to look at discouragement is that we can use it as a warning light that we've lost our primary focus. You know, it's kind of like when those idiot lights come on in the car. Warning, warning, Will Robinson, we got problems. The oil's low, you know, the tires are low, whatever. So, if we can, we can use that time to get along with the Lord and allow Him to examine our hearts and our motives. If we get discouraged, there's a reason. It could be coming from the outside. It could be coming from the inside. Something in our heart that needs adjustment. We need to be honest with the Lord. Because He already knows what the truth is. He's just waiting for us to get honest with Him and bring it to Him. Because He loves each and every one of you. Even in our bad moments, He loves you. Psalm 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxiety. You know what? The psalmist is saying, you know what my anxiety is, Lord. Search my heart. I don't want to carry these anymore. I want more of you and less of this other stuff. And Hebrews 4, verse 16 says, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. It's a throne of grace, folks. Let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace and help in time of need. Mercies are new every morning. There's a reason. Because every morning, we need it. Even the psalmist had times of discouragement. For example, in Psalm 42, verses 5 and 6. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you. When we're the most discouraged, when we're the most downcast, when we're the most disappointed, that's when we need to remember God the most. Times of discouragement will happen to all of us. I'm not pushing that on all of us, but life happens. Times of discouragement will happen to all of us. It's important, though, that we don't stay there. Elijah, Jeremiah, Peter, Job, Moses, and the list goes on and on. of those who have dealt with discouragement. And they were such mighty leaders that they made it into the Bible. Who are we to think that we're any better than us? And they were all put in there for a reason. Because God wants us to know that we're all going to have those moments. But he also wants us to know that we can have victory in that moment. And that's one more time when you can have a victory, so that down the road, when something else happens, you can look back and say, Lord, when I was downcast, you lifted me up. When I thought I didn't have any friends left, when I thought I lost my house, my family, whatever I thought I lost, you were there. And if you were there then, I know you'll be here now. Because I saw your victory. And that it gave me encouragement and the courage to get through my discouragement. The important thing is knowing what to do when those discouraging times to come. So let me give you a couple of suggestions, and these are only a couple, but more that you can do. Be honest with yourself and be honest with God. You can't fix what you don't admit. I don't have a problem. I don't need to deal with it. I can't help it. If you think I have a problem, that's your problem. You need to fix your problem, right? But then that doesn't fix me. Why was I short with somebody? Why did I lose my temper? Why did I get frustrated? Why did I begin to doubt God in the situation I was going through? Be honest, God already knows. There are no secrets from God. You've heard me say many times, he's not surprised. So we might as well just be honest with him. Another thing is to take care of your body. When you don't feel well, or you overextend yourself, your defenses become weakened. We don't think that we do. We think that we can just do a little bit more. And a little bit more. Been here, done that. Every once in a while, we got to say, you know what? I need to take the positive pressures. I need time alone with you. Because if my mind is overtaxed, my body is overtaxed, whatever's going on, then what happens is I don't have a full focus on the Lord, and I don't have clear vision. Pay attention to your thought life. Is it on things of God, or are you drifting in your thoughts to places where you shouldn't go? We all have things that we're facing, and we don't need to be in denial about it. Give it to God. Don't stay there. But where are we looking for our answers? Where do you look for your answers? Press close into God during those times. Nahum 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows who trust in him. God knows if you trust in him or not, and he's willing to be your stronghold. He told you to put on the full armor of God, not so that you could go fight. He told you to put on the full armor of God so that you would be protected, because the word says he will go do the fighting for you. The problem is, sometimes we say, it's okay, God, I got that. And guess what happens? You don't make up something we don't know about. Psalm 147:3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Who hasn't been brokenhearted? You worried about your children, your grandchildren. You worried about your parents before they passed away. Whatever it is that you're brokenhearted about, God says he will be there for you in those times. He will heal you. He'll mend your heart. Psalm 94:14. For the Lord will not forsake his people. He will not abandon his heritage. He will not leave you or forsake you. You are his heritage. And then there's John 16, verse 33. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So he knows that we're going through tribulation and times and all that stuff. But God's saying, I got this. Look to me. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 21, cautions us, do not take to heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. God knew that we would be wounded by people's words, by disappointments in life and weariness that leads to discouragement. We've all had our moments. But God says, do not be anxious about anything. And in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your request be known to God. That's the Philippians 4. The Lord wasn't just talking about our physical and spiritual needs. He knew we would have emotional needs too. Because guess what? We live with other people. And you know what? There are some people that if you put them in solitary confinement, they would have problems living with themselves. It's true. I've counseled with people that they start to talk about this or that or something else, and it turns out their own problem was them. They were blaming themselves and they didn't know it. But they were putting it on everybody else. I can't help what happened to you when you were 8 years old, or when you were 12 years old. But what happened last week? But what I can do is help you get back to Christ. I can help you get to the place where you can be healed. Not by me, by him. And I'm willing to walk with you there to get you there. Romans 8, verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger of the sword? Various things that many of us have had to face in one form or another. But who's going to separate us from the love of Christ? Because he says nothing will separate my love from you. Romans 12, verse 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Sometimes it's hard to rejoice in hope. When you're going through a frustrating time. Being patient in tribulation. Nobody likes tribulation, and believe me, I already asked to learn about patience. I've been there, done that. Don't want to go through that lesson again. And be constant in prayer. And sometimes it's hard to be constant in prayer because our mind gets to spinning about that thing that's bothering us. And so we have a hard time staying focused in the Lord. But we're called to do that anyway and work our way through it. And God will help us through it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord's going before you. He already knows what's coming before you get there. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God gave us not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Sometimes we allow fear to sneak in. We're not feeling the love. And self-control, we're all not perfect at that either. We all have those moments. When feeling discouraged, look to God for the courage that you need. Look to God for your courage. The Lord wants to encourage you. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. Because he'll allow all kinds of noise and confusion to try to get in there so that you can't hear it. Don't do that. Turn it out. And don't expect the world to give you what you really need. Because what the world has to offer starts out looking like Hollywood, but it ends in death. It doesn't take you to a place of victory. It just doesn't. Sometimes we may even have to struggle with our own self. We need to go to prayer and turn to the Word of God and find those who are mature in the Lord who will then be encouragers, not discouragers. We don't need Job's friends. There's a couple of those in the world. Sometimes we're battling with something in ourselves. And we just need somebody to go there and lift our arms up and say, you know what, brother and sister? We're going to go through this together, and you are going to have victory. Allow the Lord to love on you and to help you. He promised to be there in our time of need. Now we need to trust that He really will be there. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, I do believe this was a word that was meant to get out tonight. And Lord, the enemy has done a lot to try to discourage getting this word out. But Lord, no matter how close we say we're walking with you, we may be going through medical treatments and may not be feeling all that superpower that we thought we had just a few days ago when we thought we were invincible. We may be going through other frustrations and concerns. But no matter where we are, you are there. Where can we go that you are not? And if you weren't there, why would we want to be here? Lord, we want to be with you. We need your love. We need your encouragement. We need your power. And Lord, sometimes when we don't know the words, we just need you, even if you don't say anything, just to hold us so that we can feel close to you. And we thank you that you will be there according to your word. And you've always, always, always kept your word. To you be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll see how this microphone thing works out.